What is up, Midnight Tokers, Afternoon Inhalers, and AM Hookah Smokers? This is the AM Hookah Podcast with me, your humble host, Matt. Joined with me, as always, is Adrian. How are you doing, Adrian?
What's going on, everybody? I'm pretty good. Just hanging out, just packed the bowl. But don't pay attention to me, Matthew.
And we are joined by a very, very special guest. We have Zach. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name, from Strictly Shisha on YouTube. Zach, how are you doing, my friend?
I am thankful and happy to be here, guys. I know I flaked on you last week, but this is going to be a lot of fun tonight, so I'm excited.
We are super excited to have you here. We're super excited to be doing the show. We have a lot of fun stuff going on. We're going to be talking about a huge part of the show is going to be less about the overall topic and more just a pure interview, and I feel like we're going to have a lot of stuff that gets directly into it. We already have people pouring in the chat. We have Captain Wetbeard, as always. Akeem, the original superfan. Hookafine is here as well. And Paul, how are you guys all doing? Are you guys smoking anything today? Are you guys loading a bowl? Are you getting ready to? And Gus is here as well. Zach, do you know who Gus is by any chance? Have you heard that name?
I do not.
So he
Gus,
runs,
if I know you and I don't remember, I'm sorry.
He runs this really cool Twitter page on Twitter where anytime a very good reviewer will post a new review, he reposts it almost instantly on Twitter all the time. He does my content, Adrian's content, and your content all the time as well. So I didn't realize he was doing that for a long time. Yeah, exactly. He's a very, very cool guy. But he's here in the chat. Paul says, what's going on, everybody? And we are just all getting ready to smoke. Let's see. We're going to go over just a very brief. As you said, you were supposed to be here last Monday. Ran into some conflict, so unable to do it. But you're here today, which is really good. So please, if you are in the chat, let me know how the video is looking and how the video is sounding from all of our audio levels. Want to make sure that everything is coming through crisp at the beginning of the show and not halfway through the show like I am so infamously known to do. Zach, you may not know it. Yes. What do you think about the borders? I wanted to get a picture of you, but I thought it'd be weird if you were standing next or sitting next to a picture of yourself in the stream. That'd look weird.
It looks good. I like it.
So we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of fun stuff. A huge part of it's going to be obviously an interview for Zach and everything. So let's go ahead and get into the show just a little bit and talk about what we are smoking. Paul says that he's smoking Swiss Alps with M Cherry and Maraschino Cherry from Tangiers, I would only assume. But let's go ahead and get into it. Adrian, what are you smoking?
Always me first, huh? I've got some Alpha Kama going. I've been smoking a lot of that stuff. We've got Ice Mint, Gum Mint, and Passion Fruit in thirds. The Ice Mint's pretty overpowering. I probably should have done a little bit less of that. You guys already know what setup I always use on the podcast. It's the Aviator with the Thunder Slim with the Kaya Shisha handle.
Very, very nice looking. And yourself, Zach, what are you smoking today for the show?
So, to segue into one of your questions, you were going to ask me what is one of my favorite flavors. So I figured, why not pack my favorite flavor so I can tell you guys firsthand what it is.
Awesome.
I'm smoking Trifecta's The Twist, one of my all-time go-to flavors. Love the balance of flavors in here. It's awesome. It's really good. Now, loving it right now.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, is The Twist anything like Pulp Friction?
No, not at all. So it's a melon, lemon, lime kind of blend.
Okay.
And I have kicked it up with a little bit of dirty mint. I guess there was some hiding in my stash, and I was kind of passed out Saturday night. You probably can guess why. And my friends raided my stash to pack bowls, and they found some. So I'm super excited. I found some dirty mint to mix with this.
Very nice. Captain Wetbeard says that Adrian's hookah should from now on be known as the Adrianator. This is the Adrianator setup.
Sounds good. I'll do it. Trademark. Copyright. 2018.
I like that. Full disclosure. Copywritten right there. What hookah are you smoking? It looks like a Sheik. I'm not sure, though. Is it?
Yeah. So I'm smoking a Sheikah Dual Legend. Love this thing. And you can see there's some pretty pricey pipes in the background. And for the price, this thing it hits so well. I brought it out this weekend for the friends, and I forgot how much I missed it, so I won't show it off today.
What Mark? Is that the 4.5?
Yeah.
That thing is gorgeous. I need to get a Sheikah so bad. I still don't have
it. The lines on it are beautiful. It's really, really high craftsmanship on this. I like it a lot.
I've always wanted to get a Sheikah. I've always been a KM guy, so I've never gotten one. I have my stash of KMs. I haven't got an Egyptian pipe for such a long time. I haven't actually got a new pipe for a long time. If I was to look in the market to buy a pipe, which I've already thought about, I really want to get a Like Smoke. Have you guys seen the Like Smoke hookahs?
Mm-hmm.
I really like the white and dark and light brown wood that they have. I think it just looks absolutely sexy, and I think on one of those vases that like kind of like a trumpet vase, I think it'd look really, really nice on it. I would get it from Hookah John, but I don't want a boho vase to go with it. Not that I think that boho vases are ugly or anything like that. I just don't want to pay that price that he's asking for the vase included, considering I don't really want to use that vase with it. Does that make sense? If he was to sell it purely with the, what's it called? With, you know, just the stem, I would have bought one in a heartbeat. I think that they're really, really nice looking. And I think that's my next hookah. Either that or maybe a matte pear, maybe? What have you guys been looking at hookahs lately?
The matte pear is nice. I smoked out of one. Christian Hookah Chef has one, and I smoked out of it with his. And it smokes so well. Super, super smooth. I love the diffuser that's built in. The rumors of it rusting on the magnetic parts, kind of iffy to me. I don't take the best care of my pipes, kind of because I'm testing them out at always trying to see how long they're going to last under normal use. So I'm a little bit worried about that one, but I mean, it smokes like a dream. It's really, really nice.
And Matt, I see what you're doing, but why don't you actually just tell us what you're smoking trying to avoid that topic.
I am smoking some tobacco as well. I'm actually smoking a new brand to me, Sherbetli, I think is how you pronounce it. Is that correct? Sherbetli?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, and the flavor in question is lime, lychee, blueberry, and it is hitting.
Flavor.
It is hitting so well right now. I am a big fan of lychee flavors. My favorite lychee is probably going to be Lavu lychee. It is the most natural tasting lychee, and it has this wonderful cream essence to it that I absolutely love when it comes to smoking tobacco. This one is a super candy stylized version of lychee by far. It's like I used to buy these gummies that were lychees, and it tastes exactly like that. I'm not tasting lime, and I'm not tasting blueberry. Zach, you said that you've had this flavor before. Did you taste the lime in it, or did you taste the blueberry? Because I'm just getting a really strong lychee flavor right now.
I didn't get the lime itself. I got the citrus cut from the sweetness a little bit. And for me, blueberry and lychee go very well together. I almost feel like lychee is a perfumey, blueberry-esque flavor.
Yes.
So I thought they worked really well together in general. And I haven't actually reviewed any Sherbetli yet, but a friend of mine lives in Germany, or is from Germany. They said it's popular, and it's kind of funny how we're just getting it now. He said people used to spend big bucks on their mint. Like, there used to be, like, waiting lines, like, to get their mint. It used to be that good. I've never had it, but I hear it's really good stuff about it.
I don't have the mint by itself, but I do have a lot of different mixes where the mint is in it as well. I don't think I had blueberry by itself. I'd like to try the blueberry on its own to kind of see what that blueberry taste, how well it's mixing into the lychee. Because this, to me, is just a really good lychee flavor, which I am totally happy with. I wish that maybe it was just called lychee by itself. I don't know what that would have tasted like, obviously. But it's very, very good. Captain Whippers says, whoa, that flavor combo sounds bomb. Where'd you get that brand from, Matt? It was actually sent to me, full disclosure. I'm going to be doing some reviews for Sherbetly under 5starhookah.com, and they sent me this stuff to actually take a look at. I have a message that's restricted. It didn't let me pull it up, so Junior.
Well, it's retracted.
Oh, it's retracted. Oh, so he must have erased it.
Okay. I don't want to say that anymore.
Okay. Also, on the topic of lime flavors, what is everybody's favorite lime tobacco? I think that's a good question. Hey, Sid, late to the party. You're right on time. No problems at all, Sid. What do you have a favorite lime, Zach?
Yeah, I think Trifecta lime is pretty on point. It's one of my favorites.
That's what I was going to say.
I like the dark leaf doesn't compete. You can really taste the lime. Yes. It's a little sweeter than I would prefer. I love a little more citrus bites. I would have preferred that. But as is, I think it's a lime everyone can really enjoy.
I don't like to smoke that lime by itself. That's my biggest problem with that lime, actually. And to me, everything you said is spot on exactly to it. But my problem with the lime from Trifecta is that it was too much lime to actually enjoy the lime flavor, in my opinion. It was wonderful as a mixer, but I would never smoke that on its own, because to me that lime was just so overpowering that after 30 minutes of it, it gets old in the fact that it's so powerful. I almost thought it was a hindrance to it because it was so good, which is a weird thing to say, but yeah, that's how I felt about it.
What would you say you prefer over the Trifecta lime, if not the Trifecta lime?
Oh, probably new lime from Tangiers. That's a sweeter lime. Yeah, that's a sweeter lime and something that I prefer to smoke by itself because you get that citrus bite to it. Not nearly as strong as a lime in the essence of the actual liminess of it, but definitely has that bitter taste to it that the citrus fruit normally has.
Now, have you tried Starbuzz Vintage Fresh Lime?
I have not tried that one.
It's actually pretty good. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's one that I have not tried yet. Hello, everyone. I just copped a bunch of Sherbetly flavors coming in. I'm smoking KM Hookah and Cappuccino Predator Bowl with a Thunderhose V2, smoking some Azure Cinnamon Cookie. Azure! Oh, man. We should talk about Azure just a tiny bit. You guys want to talk about some Azure flavors?
I like Azure.
Okay, so I think we can all say that Azure's been a premium tobacco that has hit the market, and we've all really been enjoying it quite a bit. I know that I've enjoyed it quite a bit. I recently got two flavors for review once again, and the first one that I got was called Lady Liberty, which to me tastes exactly like a fruit roll-up, either a cherry or a strawberry fruit roll-up, or a gummy, like a gusher type flavor. It's something that is overly sweet, very candyized, very gummy tasting, in my opinion. I really have been enjoying it a lot. I like candy flavors, though. My problem has been, though, with the Grow-A-Pair. The Grow-A-Pair for me has been very chemically and not very good at all. I recently got in touch with the guy that's under the brand Azure, and he told me that he thinks it may need to be acclimated. I'm going to try doing that, but for now, Lady Liberty, spot on, very good flavor. Grow-A-Pair, not enjoying it to the large amount of love that it's getting all over the internet. What has been your guys' experience, Zach, with Azure so far?
First round of Azure I had was when the Dark Leaf was still being revamped. Lawn Line, fantastic flavor combinations. I really enjoyed. I compared it to an early Trifecta. When I first saw something really endearing in Trifecta, I saw that in Azure. Love it.
I got some
newer batches, and I was actually having some trouble with them. Unicorn, mango cheesecake, it blows my mind. It is the most – I feel like I'm eating a cheesecake. You get that – you know that tartness you get from cheese, like that sour note? You get that. You get the mango. It's the most accurate flavor I think I've ever had, but it's so strong in terms of like the nicotine throat hit. I don't know what's going on with it. I tried acclimating it like they recommended you do, and it's not smoking like the past Dark Leaf versions did. So I'm wondering what's going on with the batches, but the flavor profiles, Unicorn, awesome. Such amazing flavors, but they're not performing how I think they should
now,
and how they did in the past.
Have you been getting any feedback from other people in the community saying that their flavors are hitting really well? Because that's something that happened to me. I posted just very quickly on Hookah Lounge, and I said that the Grow-A-Pair is smelling and tasting very chemically, and a lot of people came out in defense of it, saying that it's one of the most accurate flavors they've ever had. And I find that surprising in the fact that if I do have a bad batch, we're so early on with Azure that most of them should all be coming from the same batch. So I wonder... that's the only reason why I think the acclimation may help me. At least I'm really hoping that it's going to help me at least. So I don't know.
Everyone's speaking very highly of it. I hear very negative feedback about it in general. Everyone was very honest in the beginning about the Dark Leaf being a little, you know, heat sensitive. And I think that now people would be open to say it's not good, but everyone else is really enjoying it. And I'm not. And I don't know. I don't think it's me, honestly.
That's how I feel. I
can pack a half-decent bowl, but I don't know. I've tried every method possible, and it's not hitting for me.
All these people have me feeling crazy, basically. I feel like I'm doing something wrong, and I don't know what it is yet. The fact that it smells bad is the only reason why I don't think I'm packing it wrong, because I'm getting the flavor that I'm smelling. That flavor's just not very good. Adrian, what about you? What's been your experience so far with Azure?
The Gold line has been nothing but stellar. Like, my favorite flavors right now have been Carolina Peach and Lemon Muffin. Those have been amazing for me. I've had the Cinnamon Cookie, which has been awesome. I know that Ron really likes that flavor from over at Hookah Heroes. But the Dark line has been temperamental for me even to this day. I've picked up some since they've revamped it. Or I've heard that they've revamped it. I don't really talk to Raphael that much. I think that's his name. Mm-hmm. But the Dark Leaf just hasn't performed as well. I have gotten a few good bowls out of select flavors, but for the most part, when I pick up Azure, I've just been going for the blondes. I've got a lot of brands that make a Dark Leaf that I really like. So if I'm spending money on something, I tend to go towards like Tangiers or Trifecta, or even I've enjoyed some Black Lava recently. So.
Yes, I'm a pretty big liker of Black Lava. I think they produce some pretty high-quality stuff, actually. I haven't had too many mixed batches, though I have seen that in the past, so I'm not sure what's going on. There, we have some good comments in the chat, actually, right now. Gus says, kind of like pouring the whole thing over Lucas Power onto your tongue. Lucas Powder, anyone remember what that is? It's that Mexican candy that's basically, it comes in like a sugar packet, and you just like put it on your tongue, and it's like super sour. So I thought that was a good comment. Brandon says that I have some coming in of the Sherbetli lemon cake. Do you have any experience with lemon cake? I have some, and I saw that you had some too. Have you smoked it yet, Zach? No, you haven't smoked it yet? Okay.
I have not, no. I've actually been saving it. I've only had 50 grams, so I want to make sure when I'm ready to review it, I smoke it. But I've heard good things.
Yeah, I'm interested in tasting it. It's actually sitting right here in front of me. I'll be honest, the lemon comes through pretty well. It's kind of like, have you ever had like a lemon square, like a what's it called? I can't even think of the right word, but a treat, a lemon square treat. It smells good. The only thing that I have to say is just off the smell, it almost smells kind of stale for the bread component of it. Not in like a super bad way or anything. Just, that's the way. It's almost very natural in the fact that it smells stale, which sounds weird. I don't know. It's not a bad smell. I'm not going to say it's bad or anything like that. Anyone try the Azure Dark Line Horchata? You did a review for the Horchata, didn't you? And what did you think of that?
I thought it was one of the best ones I've ever had. I make Horchata like for the shop, and that one was pretty damn good. I really, really enjoyed it. And that was a dark leaf, and it smoked just fine. I could fluff it. I could dense it, medium dense it, whatever your packing style was. I thought it was versatile, and that's what I expected from dark leaf. And it wasn't that way.
Fiji Water is in our chat right now, and they just asked, anybody want water? So Fiji Water is willing to send us some water right now. I wouldn't mind some water at the moment. I could use a cup of water in my office at the moment.
But I'll take that sponsor, Fiji Water, if you're looking for
Fiji to Water. Get some marketing out there. Fiji Water is in here right now, so that's awesome. Captain Weber says,
really cool.
when it comes to horchata flavors, my favorite has always been Tangiers. The other ones that I've tried was Social Smoke, which I thought was way too weak in the flavor profile. The other one that I had was from Black Lava, which I thought was a good horchata, just not a great horchata. I want to try the Azure Horchata because I do like the Azure line so much that I think I would enjoy that flavor quite a bit. David says that he's looking for a Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavor. Could we make a Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavor? I think a horchata would be good with that. And then a cinnamon. What's a good cinnamon that's not overpowering when it comes to cinnamon flavor?
Take Cinnamon Muffin from Azure or whatever, that Lemon Muffin, and put some cinnamon in there. I think you get pretty darn close.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
That muffiness that he gets in those flavors, if you add some cinnamon to that, you might get pretty darn close.
I don't know how he gets those muffin flavors, because the Lemon Muffin has blown my mind every time. I saw that you did a review on it, and I was like, okay, I trust this guy. I'm gonna pick some up. And now I'm spending too much money on Lemon Muffin.
Dude, it's so muffiny. It's like he baked muffins and shoved in a pack and I throw it in my bowl. It's like the weirdest combination of flavors. It's not just cinnamon and like the nutmeg that everyone goes for, just over cinnamon everything for baked goods. He's got some real muffin in that. I think so. It's really good.
Now you guys have me wanting to try some. That's one thing I haven't tried from Azure is any of the muffin flavors. All the stuff that I got for samples, none of it was muffiny, or none of them were the muffin flavors or anything. So I do want to try some of those because I keep hearing such good things about it. J-Rock says, I just had Sherbetli Green Mix. I have Green Mix, J-Rock, so I will be trying that as well. Apple, lime, and mint. I was amazed at how it tastes. That sounds good. Apple, lime, and mint sounds like a very good combination of flavors. Akeem will also take water. Fuji, just so you know, Akeem would also like some water. Brandon says, if you guys are having problems with the dark leaf from Azure, you can mix it so that whenever, if it is a heat sensitive, mix it with blonde leaf and it smokes a lot better. I mixed the Viva La Horchata with something and then he got cut off. Oh, cinnamon, cookie, a blonde leaf, and it was really great mix, not very heat sensitive. So he's saying that if you're having problems with it, maybe we ought to try to put in some blonde leaf in it and see what happens. I'm a big component, though, and I think that you guys would probably feel the same, especially when reviewing a flavor. We have to review the flavor as a standalone before we review it as a mixable flavor. So I think it needs to stand up on its own as its own entity before we can say what it is or isn't good with when it comes to mixing. Paul says, throw that H2O out of the way. Put only Fiji in my hookah bowls. There you go.
Put it in the base.
We want the Fiji. We want the Fiji flavor.
I smoked some water. Put it in the bowl.
We all have water in our bowl right now. No, I don't think any of us has Fiji. We all messed up today, I guess. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on with the show a little bit. Let's talk about what we have been smoking, see if anyone has some interesting things that they could bring up and stuff. Zach, you always have a lot of new stuff going on with yourself. Is there anything in particular as of recent that you're smoking that you'd like to maybe touch on a little bit?
Kind of the usual stuff I've been testing out. A lot of Zomo. Actually, a buddy of mine packed a really fire mix of passion fruit, the strong passion and the strong blue together. Really, really amazing. Doing some Sherbetly testing, as we talked about off camera. That was been interesting. Better than I expected, honestly. The packaging of Sherbetly kind of reminded me of, I guess, Alwaha, which I know you guys like, but I'm more of modern smoker. I love the robust flavors. I like that in your face. And those tobaccos don't really necessarily give it to me, but Sherbetly did pretty good. I like that. And then really fighting with the Azure to get to smoke well, because I really want it to be enjoyable, but it's been tough. I throw out a lot of bowls after like 20 minutes, and it kills me. It kills my coal stash, but I'm really trying to help the guy out, and it's not working well for me.
Have you tried Awaha, the blueberry guava, by chance?
I have not. I haven't had Awaha in a while.
Awaha blueberry guava is my absolute favorite. It literally tastes like you're eating those kinds of like sour and sweet, like sweet tarts, kind of. And it is one of the more powerful flavors from them by far. Blueberry guava is a standby for me. I absolutely love blueberry guava. I would take a new banana nut bread. Haze flavor was good, but I think Azure could kick it up a notch. Azure.
Hey, can we touch on Haze for a minute? Has anyone smoking the new Haze?
I have actually been smoking them. What do you guys think so far?
Adrian, why don't you tell us? What do you think?
Honestly, I've only had like maybe 8 bowls. I've got the 3 new flavors. I think it's BOF, the Beat the Heat, and the Cotton Cloud. So I think they're the 3 new flavors that are out. I got 100 grams of those. I think a lot of us got that 100 gram with the Three Kings Natural package from South Smoke.
What is up with that?
Very, very interesting choice, Three Kings and South Smoke. Honestly, I like a lot of the flavors. The Cotton Clouds comes across as a little bit buttery to me, if that makes any sense. But Haze, I just kind of moved away from Haze ever since they started moving over to Spain, is I think where they're at now. The flavors aren't bad, but to me, all of the flavors that I've tried have been a bit underwhelming. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they've stuck really true to their performance. I think they're smoking really well. But yeah, I wasn't really amazed by any of the flavors. And yeah, I thought they moved to Dubai, but I guess maybe they moved to Spain. I'm not sure. And I don't know. Cotton Clouds, I smoked it with a group of people Saturday. They were like, what is this crap? This is not cotton candy. They tasted some cinnamon in there or something, and it wasn't ghosted. So I don't know where they got that from. Beat the Heat was decent. And I don't really like the BOF, whatever that was. It was just
fruit cocktail like almost.
Too many different fruits in one thing, and you can't distinguish one over the other. It was just kind of like a fruit punchy type mix. I don't know. I didn't.
Yeah, really I'm not a bit like Alfacker's fruit cocktail. Ever since I had that, I realized I don't like this at all. I need to stop buying these flavors.
I liked the quality. The quality is still good, and I like that. You know, flavors they can improve upon. Quality is hard to maintain, and I think if they can maintain that overseas, they have a chance of revamping all their old flavors. And if they can maintain the consistency in those flavors, I'll go back to it. I know John said he wasn't going to carry them anymore, so I don't know if there's some
bad blood.
That's very interesting. We've actually had a Haze shop out here in Dearborn. It's a Haze shop, and they don't carry Haze.
That's very interesting. Weird. I have not liked the Cotton Clouds at all. I've had 2 bowls of this, and I did not taste anything sweet or cotton candy-like to it. I've been very, very disappointed in the Cotton Clouds. BOF, I've only smoked 1 bowl, and it was very unmemorable, so I don't even have anything to say about that right now. Beat the Heat, to me, has been absolutely the best one. I actually really do like what they're doing with it. Some people said that the mint was too powerful in it. I don't think the mint was that powerful, and I thought the lime taste of it was actually very good with the cherry mixture. Beat the Heat for me has been the best of the bunch by far. Like I said, the Cotton Clouds to me has been nothing. I was super...
It's kind of bad, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, even the smell of it, when I popped it open, my immediate thought was like, oh, I'm definitely going to get... Yeah, see, like, there, yeah, buttery is actually the best way to put it when you smell it, and I didn't even think of that before, but I'm not smelling any cotton candy, and for something that literally has cotton candy posted on top of it, I don't know why we're not getting any sugar in there, but yeah, I have not been impressed with that, but the Beat the Heat, I have definitely been enjoying. Zach, this is a now, question. Go ahead, Adrian.
I just really quick want to double down, because I don't think we had any input on it. I don't know if we did, but I just want to double down on Haze still performs really well.
Yeah.
So if you like the flavor, if you do prefer their flavors, I'm a big fan of stuff like Cucumberita. I like that flavor a lot. If you like the way it performs and it does perform well, don't let it stop you from picking the brand up. I just don't like the new flavors.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, Matt.
You're fine. Zach, this is a question from J-Rock. He says, I watch a lot of your videos for a long time, and you said that it's hard to find a good strawberry flavor. Can you say now if anybody has made a good strawberry flavor that you've tested lately?
Lady Liberty was pretty darn okay, and Strong Red from Zomo were the two that I see were the best, but I think the closest anyone's going to get is a good fruit roll-up strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't really had a strawberry that's like really blown me away. Like, this is like a fresh strawberry.
Yeah,
I hear from manufacturers that it's one of the hardest flavors to make.
That would make sense. Could you see, because strawberry is a great flavor and we all enjoy strawberry flavor type things, but they're always artificial because a natural flavor of strawberry, while it's good to eat, it's also a very light flavor in general. So you're not going to get that extremely in-your-face taste of strawberry from being natural, yeah. I would imagine, right?
I also find strawberries to be a little bit tart,
mm-hmm.
Like if you buy a fresh strawberry, so maybe people try to avoid that, and that might be a big problem in trying to create a natural strawberry flavor. I don't know.
Alpha Comma, who I think has very natural flavor profiles, they have a strawberry, and their strawberry I actually was not a very big fan of because it was one of their least natural-tasting flavors. It was more artificial, and I think that goes back to the fact that it may have to be artificial for it to actually work, but I'm not sure. Brandon says, I have been smoking a lot of Azure and Sherbetly and some Karma Hookah Tobacco, which is so good. The Watermelon Mint and Blueberry Delight is amazing. I also have some cherry the blueberry guava. I ain't kidding when I say the blueberry guava is lit. It is so, so very good. I thought the Hay Shop was in Unica.
It is. Oh. It is. I do shorthand in my local town because not everyone's familiar with Michigan. It is in Utica for anyone in Michigan.
Okay. So let's keep moving on. Adrian, have you been smoking anything that you'd like to touch on? Black Lava. Let's hear about it.
I've been sleeping on Black Lava. I had it once and I was pretty underwhelmed.
Banana cream pie?
Yeah, that's really good. The raspberry lemonade's really good. I'm still playing with it. I don't know how to. I've only had a handful of bowls. I don't have the pack method like perfect, I don't think. But the flavor profiles are actually pretty good. I think I slept on it a little bit too long.
The banana cream pie should not be slept on. It's very good. Have you tried banana cream pie, Zach, from Black Lava yet?
I have not. The feedback I've heard is that almost every batch is different, and they haven't really solidified a batch yet. They did some reviews on it early on, and for me, it's hard to do a review when they're changing so much, because if I review it the way it is when I get it, and then you try it a couple weeks later, it's different. It doesn't really work out well. I've had a lot of people come back to me and say Black Lava is terrible, and I think that was the next batch that was really bad. So I've kind of waited on Black Lava a little bit. Also, there was, you know, a bit of drama behind it,
yeah.
You know, when it first came out. So I kind of steered away from it. I don't want to, you know, recommend it to people. They spend their hard-earned money on it, and I can't stand by it 3 weeks later. So yes. I'm just kind of waiting until they kind of settle down, find a recipe that they like, and then I'll revisit it.
Very nice. I have been smoking. Let's go through myself. I've recently got a personal buy that I wanted to get of some Tangiers because it's been so long since I've had some. And my goodness, I've come up with this amazing flavor mix. If anybody has guava, papaya sherbet, and strong mango from Zomo, those three flavors together have been absolutely amazing. That is what I've been smoking a ton of. I have some friends over here, and I loaded that up for one of the bowls, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. Guava and papaya sherbet from Tangiers. Actually, Paul recommended that I do that, and he was very right when he said that. And then I threw in the Zomo Strong Mango, and it has been just a phenomenal mix. So that is what I've been smoking in, you know, as time is going to go on. I also have some Messiah and this Sherbetli that I'm going to be smoking quite a bit as well. Do you have much experience with Messiah, Zach?
Early on, just kind of like another rebranded Alfacher to me. Just, you know, a traditional brand, kind of light in the flavor profiles. Always smoked really well. I smoked it when it was, back in the day, it was French. I'm not sure if it's still French tobacco.
I think it is.
They used to package them even in these like shisha presso capsules. So I had a lot of experience back in the day with them. And I kind of just didn't really go for it anymore.
Their lemon mint is very good. That's what I had to say about Messiah.
That Four Seasons.
I only recently found a better lemon mint than that.
That Four Seasons, Adrian, like you told me. Four Seasons, very good. Oh my gosh, very, yes.
Right? Pretty good.
Very good. Four Seasons, if you're looking for your first Messiah to go out and get, the Four Seasons is a citrus mixture, and it is a very, very good citrus mixture. I will say
Messiah is a really good brand if you're not looking to spend a ton of money on a 250. But, you know, if you're looking for flavor strength, I would dodge the brand definitely because their flavor strengths have been a bit weak.
They've been pretty consistent throughout the years, though, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've had their own. They spend the money to come to the shows and stuff. So they seem to like they're going to stick around for a while. They're not one of those fly-by brands that come in for today and they'll be gone tomorrow. So,
like Starry?
Moving on. We got a question from
what Hookah. A sorry brand.
we got a question from Hookah Fiend. Is the Zomo Black Edition bad or is it too strong? And we've all had Zomo Black Edition. So I think this is a good question for all of us to answer. I'm going to say that I loved it. The oaky, minty taste to it was absolutely phenomenal. Was it too strong? That's a good way to phrase it because it kind of was too strong. Both in the oak taste and also in that mint taste. And also, I don't get buzzed that often when I smoke anymore, but that one definitely gave me a little bit of a buzz.
It gives you a nice buzz, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the mixture or what they use with their ingredients, but there's something about it that I don't know if it's a sugar cane. Maybe the sugar cane just hits me in just the perfect way or something because I usually will get a buzz for when I smoke Zomo, especially by itself. Do you guys think that the Black Edition was too strong?
Personally, no.
No.
I think now I've been underpacking it just a hair if I'm smoking it alone. I don't know if that's necessarily correct. It's just my favorite way to smoke it. And with just a slight underpack, at like somewhere near a semi-dense is where I like it. You probably go up or down depending on preference. But it's been super good for me. Like, I'm really mad every time I run out of it.
And what about you, Zach?
Yeah. When I first tried it, it wasn't a lot of people advising on how to pack and stuff. I didn't get a lot of direction from them. I packed it like how I would, you know, normal dark leaf semi-dense to the rim. Thinking you could take the heat. And I did agree with whoever said that. It was very strong. It was almost nauseating a little bit. And then now that I know how to pack it a little bit better, I personally do a fluff pack underneath the rim. And the flavor profiles really come out. It's the woodiness in there, the oakiness. It's very well balanced, and I love the menthol kick. So now that I can pack it properly, I actually really enjoy it. But at first, I was like, this is a weird flavor. People were giving me feedback, and they were like, dude, it's making me sick. And now that I pack it better, I think it's a lot more enjoyable.
I think that it's definitely, you know what, I don't think this gets said enough about certain flavors, but Zomo Black Edition is definitely something I almost feel like everybody needs to try because there's going to be some people out there that are going to be hardcore Zomo Black Edition lovers, I think. Did you ever try Lebanese Bombshell, Zach, from Starbuzz back in the day?
Yeah, it wasn't my cup of tea.
No? Okay, well, see, me and Adrian, we loved Lebanese Bombshell. That stuff is
super
amazing.
Good.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. I love that
I think I need to revisit it. One thing, as a reviewer, it kind of sucks. I very seldom get to smoke what I like to smoke.
Yeah.
I'm always smoking whatever people send me to review, and I honestly get tired of it. I hate smoking all this new stuff. Sometimes I want to place an order for some old stuff like Lebanese Bombshell. I'll just pack up some Double Apple every now and then just to smoke what I want to smoke, even though I used to not like Double Apple, but now I do. So it's something I haven't got a chance to revisit, but I'm not against it as my flavor profiles and tastes have changed. Maybe I might enjoy it.
That's so interesting. As a reviewer also reviewing flavors and stuff, I default to Double Apple so often when I just want to smoke a bowl for me because you do smoke so much stuff that maybe isn't your favorite thing. Like candy flavors, I can't stand them, but I review them. So like I do the same thing like, Let's get some double apple and let's smoke that and let's never review it, even though I've already reviewed it.
J-Rock says that Four Seasons is lit. I love that. I've been smoking it for years. J-Rock always knows what the good flavors are, I feel. He's a very good guy when it comes to knowing what the good flavors are out there. Let's go ahead and jump into the news now of what is going on in the world of hookah. One of the biggest things that's happening, it's actually happening tonight. Mason is releasing their brand new bowl. It is called the Grand Mason Bowl, and it has some uniqueness to it. It is a wooden downstem of the bowl part itself, and it has copper throughout it that's supposed to make it easier to clean. And then it's actually the Mason Shishaware stone clay mixture that they have for the actual top part of it, for the bowl part of it. Now, Zach, you said you kind of missed this story just a tiny bit. You don't know all the details about what... Oh, no!
Oh, yes!
No!
Fantastic!
So...
I love it.
I missed that news, but I have been talking to Nino for a very long time now since he first released the original Mason Bowls, and it's always been in the works to create a bowl with a stronger neck so you wouldn't have this issue. I think I was the second person ever to break a bowl. And so he's always been working on creating a bowl with a lot stronger neck. And I haven't talked to him recently, but I'm thinking that's what this bowl is. It's supposed to be a little bit more dummy-proof than obviously I can handle.
And so. The reason why that weak part exists right there in that neck is because it's a slipcast bowl. So it's hollow actually in the middle, which I think a lot of people don't realize about masonware. One is that they're slipcast. They're not actually handmade each individual bowl themselves. So the weak part happens at that stress point for the neck of it because of the way that it's put together. It's actually, you know, poured into a cast and then it's produced. And that's why that weak part happens there at the neck. And that is where 9 times out of 10 it breaks when anybody drops it, because that's the weakest part of the entire thing. I don't know because we haven't seen the inside of it yet, but I'm assuming it's not hollow this time around. They're going to be releasing it tonight, and they did finally come out with a price. Adrian, what was that price? I can't remember. Was it $90?
$89.99 is the going price for the Mason Onyx Grand Bowl. Oh my, it's a $90 bowl.
That is a grand price, I tell you what. That is a grand price. How do you guys feel about a $90 bowl hitting the market like that? Zach,
well,
you see a
real
lot
quick,
of... Okay, Adrian?
Really quick, I thought this was going to be like a completely wooden bowl, which I was worried about, but it did come out that it's going to have a clay top to the bowl. So you don't have to worry about like any weird stuff that may happen with wood when you apply the heat that comes from coconut coals. But it's going to be wooden on the top, and then you're going to have the clay neck of the bowl. And going through the clay neck, you're going to have kind of this copper tubing. And it's supposed to not heat up very much because the wood's obviously going to stay, according to Nino, down around 70 degrees.
Yeah, he says
which
it's
is
be
fine
safe to touch.
Because there were, in Nino's live, there was some talk about copper does release toxin when it's heated. The person that said that, I don't think they realize how hot copper has to get for that to happen. I think it's going to be a non-issue. But it looks like this bowl that has a lot of thought into it, so that might be part of where the price point is coming from. It's not just a slipcast bowl like the Onyx.
Yes. Yeah, this one is. But then again, it's also not handmade in the same sense of like a painstaking person on the throw creating an actual bowl on there. It is going to have some sort of not. I don't know. But I wonder if the top part is still going to be slipcast and then they're going to apply it to the top and bottom. Does anybody have any information as to how it's going to be put together?
Realistically, that's kind of what I would assume, too, because they want that same Mason Shishaware head right onto the wood. So I assume they're still going to do that.
That'll be interesting to see how it actually hangs on to it. What do you guys think in the chat? Is a $90 bowl something that you want to see in the marketplace? And do you think that it's something that can survive in the marketplace? Are either one of you planning on getting this $90 bowl?
I am going to pick one up if I can. Okay. If I can get my hands on it.
I probably will too for... You know, kind of try the newest, the latest stuff, even though if I don't want to spend the coin on it, I kind of have to. But to touch on the overall subject, a $90 bowl, people are selling bowls all day for $90. So look at Stone Bowls, look at them. They're doing just fine. So for me to judge how much they're charging for that bowl, it is a work of art. I don't know if I would pay that person. As you can see, I'm using, a $20 bowl right now, and I love it just fine.
Yes.
You know, it works just great for me. I don't think it's going to increase my cloud output any more than I'm having right now.
It's not, you know, it's very much a thing where you want to buy something that looks really nice for your nice setup. It's going to be the same people who dish out $115 for the Derek Moses custom, the people who are, or a decent
Timber.
what is the name of that handle?
Or a B2. I mean, it's just if you yeah. want something that looks good, you want something that's unique, you spend the money on it. Someone, it's their hobby, it's their passion, they made it, so you spend the money on it. But is it going to make you smoke any better? No. I use this Goodfella V4 every day.
I'm smoking out of a Unica bowl. Price does not matter when it comes to bowls as long as they're quality well made. Captain Whitbeard just says that if we get this video to 13 likes, Matt is going to give away a Grand Mason bowl. Hold on. Hold on a second.
I agree. It's just Matt that has to give it away. I'm going to like this video right now.
Hold on a second. Nay, stop everybody. I am not giving away a Grand Mason bowl for any reason at all. I don't even know if I'll be able to get one. There's probably only going to be three of them that's actually going to get released. So no, I am not going to be.
Shots fired.
I don't think that's a shot. That's a truth, right? Okay, no, I'm done. $90 bowls. Akeem says 90 is a pricey bowl. That's very true. Got like 21 minutes till release. Oh boy, I hope we don't lose anybody from that. Hookafim says I'll save the $90 and get some Azure and Sherbetli. There you go. Yeah, buy some tobacco instead of a bowl, especially if you already have one. J-Rock says a $90 bowl kicks rocks and blows bubbles. That is what J-Rock says. You could put that in some soap and then blow into it and make bubbles, I guess, that way. Yes, like the video because you like the video, not because you think I'm going to give you a bowl, because I'm definitely not going to be doing that anytime soon. okay.
Matt.
Yes. What?
Do it.
No.
Do
it. No way. I'm not even going to be. I got play practice.
I like it. Am I eligible? I want one.
Yeah.
You're on I'm the show. You can't be eligible in this giveaway. Okay, so let's move on to some other news that's hitting the world of hookah. In the DMZ interview, did either of you guys see the DMZ interview that dropped today on their YouTube channel? Adrian, did you see it?
I'm sad I missed that.
Yes, I did see it like 2 seconds after it came out. The second I saw a DMZ notification, in light of the recent events that's been going on around DMZ, I immediately clicked the video. And it is, in fact, an interview. It's an interview that where Dutch is the interviewee.
Yeah.
And they're talking a lot about a lot of the drama and what's the best word for it? Rumors going out about DMZ right now.
Yeah.
Get my popcorn.
Yeah. One thing that I think we can give Dutch a lot of credit for is that he hits all the questions head on. He doesn't really circumvent a lot of the questions or anything like that. He answers them very truthfully, at least it seems. He has some interesting responses for them. He says that the reason why the emails look the way they do, so he did confirm that the emails are real. He never said anything about the emails being false in any way. He said that the reason why the – oh, hey, what's up, Dr. Noobsauce? Chris is here.
Sauce.
Always happy to have him a part of the show. So he says the reason why the emails looked the way that they do is he wasn't actually typing them out or writing them on his phone. He was actually using text-to-speech on his phone. And what happened was is he said the things that he said, and then he said, oh, we also charge $500 for other things, basically, is what he was trying to get at. And then there was no periods or commas, so it all just looked like it flowed into one sentence, and that's why it had the perceived look that it did. If you want to believe that, I won't knock you for it. I think it's an interesting cop to say it in that fashion. I don't know what there is to believe at this point when it comes to DMZ. I think that we all have some pretty strong opinions coming from the world of YouTube and reviewing products and trying to give out truthful information. We want there to be the best form of truthful information out there because it can be a bad look for other reviewers if there's the assumption that we're doing this for a paid reimbursement of any kind. What is your take on that, Zach?
Well, first of all, I didn't see the interview because I'm not subscribed to them, so I didn't get to see that. I will go back and watch it, though. I think it does make all of us look really bad. As I tell people in the industry all the time, I think I'm one of the dumbest people in the industry. I do this for free. I've never been paid. Not a dollar. I am given product, obviously, in exchange for review, but there's many times where I don't review it or I tell them it sucks for whatever reason, you know? So it does make all of us look bad. It makes all of us look biased. And I actually wanted to release a video kind of just reiterating that, reminding people that I'm not paid. I spend money to do this, actually, whether it be to take off time in the morning and schedule an employee to cover my shift at work or to buy Kohl's. People forget to test out a tobacco, you have to buy Kohl's, right? They don't send that shit along with it unless you're South Smoke sending Three Kings. You know, it costs money. You know, like if I'm testing out the Phoenix, how many rounds of tobacco am I spending money on to review it? For what?
Yes.
A like on YouTube? I do it for the people who watch, who I know when I used to spend money, I know you, this is one of the questions you're going to ask me, why did I start reviewing? Because when I used to spend money on stuff and I was so disappointed in it, you know, I want other people to know this is not the best for this reasons, or I didn't enjoy it for this reason. So maybe be wary when you're spending your hard earned money on that stuff. You know, yes. I don't want you to waste your money like how I felt cheated sometimes.
Gus says, hardly sidestep the fact that the price points were there. It's about transparency, regardless of whether they take the money or not. Just tell us up front, video per video. The rest can't be helped. And I think that's the biggest thing, too. If you look back at their back catalog and you see some of their videos and stuff, I think the one that sticks out like a sore thumb is that Husic video and the Husic review and stuff like that. It's just the most infomercial-looking type thing, and I think we all just want some clarity. Like, I like the fact that he did an interview, and I like the fact that he answered some very tough questions. I wish that the interview wasn't conducted by DMZ itself. I wish he would have gone out and found somebody completely unbiased or not a part of his troupe of people.
Like you guys. He should be on the show, right?
I'd be more than happy to have Dutch come on the show and answer some questions, because it's not that I don't trust the people that were giving him the interview. It's not that I don't trust that they're being honest. It's that I think it offers another level of transparency to give somebody who's not a part of them to offer that sort of retrospect into what is going on and ask questions, to be honest, that only we would think of. You know, it's going to be a much harder question to come up with from somebody that is so ingrained in what is going on. I think that's my personal opinion on the whole thing. What do you think happens to DMZ moving forward, Adrian?
Well, it's all very interesting. Repeat the question for me really quick.
I
want to word this carefully.
I just said, what do you think happens to DMZ TV going forward? Do you think anything changes on their videos?
Absolutely nothing. Okay. Whether or not they're up to anything potentially against the rules of the platform they're on, or even against the law, depending on what angle you look at it from, I don't think this necessarily changes anything. The amount of people who watch DMZ's content that are a part of the hookah enthusiast community is a very small fraction.
I think so.
So not a lot of people are, like, that video is not going to get a lot of views. A lot of people are going to go, what are they talking about? Because a lot of the people who smoke aren't necessarily in the Facebook communities for one reason or another. Now, as far as, do I think that they're going to start disclosing if they are taking money? Honestly, if he hasn't up to this point and he's kind of doubled down on the fact that they do not make money, I don't think this is going to change the way that they do it. I'm not sure what the issue is. Like Gus said, and like I think most of the people have said, if this is what they're doing, and I'm not going to say whether I think they are or not, I'm going to be as moderate as possible on this, but if they are taking money, they need to disclose it. Even if you're taking free product, it's always good to say, this is a free product. It's just a good thing to do. Also, you have to, if you're using YouTube as a platform, it's part of their guidelines and rules. But honestly, I don't think anything happens to DMZ from this point. I don't think it's a big enough shakeup. I think they're going to keep doing what they're doing. And as far as the whole Hookah University being tied to DMZ thing, I think they've done a very good job of reflecting all of those comments. I think that one of the members of DMZ kind of hopped on the internet and acted like a bit of a child, deflecting all the comments and not really having a conversation about it, so that worries me. But bottom line, we just wanted to tell you guys that this interview happened. Go check it out if you want to see what Dutch had to say. But I don't necessarily know that that video clears up anything for me.
I feel the same way, and I agree that I don't think a lot of things are going to change. One thing that they did in the most recent amount of time is that they brought on two people that I think gave them a little bit of validation to being more part of the hookah enthusiast community, with Travis and Cheyenne doing the reviews that they were doing for them and stuff. And I think they did that for a very positive reason. They were trying to kind of bring forward some very positive reviews and actually talk about things that enthusiasts care about. Whether that stuff continues, we'll have to wait and see. There's really no way to know until that actually happens. So we're just going to kind of wait for the most part, I think.
That interview was fun. I want to get onto the good interview that we're supposed to be doing today.
Yeah.
The DMZ interview was a fun thing to talk about. But Matt.
Yes.
What's next?
The next part is the best part of the show. It is going to be the meat and potatoes, you could say. It is the interview of Zach from Strictly Shisha. Thank you so much for joining us once again, Zach. I know we've already had way into the show, and I'm saying that again just to reiterate it. But let's go ahead and get into it. Who is Zach, and how do you pronounce your last name? Because I ain't going to try.
Kimji.
Okay. So who are you, Zach? Give us a little bit of background information and who you are and what you do.
I'm basically just like you guys, smoke hookah. I do obviously do YouTube reviews. My channel is YouTube/strictlyshisha. Been reviewing since 2013, and don't plan on stopping anytime soon.
Awesome. Now you own an ice cream shop, is that correct? It's called Where's the Scoop, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And if people want to stop by and say hello to you, where do they go?
I'm in Johns Creek, Georgia, and actually, it's really cool. I've actually had someone drive from Macon, which is like a couple-hour drive, just to stop by and say hi and try it. She saw it on YouTube, and she thought it was pretty cool. And Taylor Dove comes in a lot, so I've actually – it's pretty cool to cross the two worlds together, you know, my YouTube life and personal life. It's something I kind of want to keep separate, but it's actually cool that people come in and support me, and there's a lot of love on YouTube for me. So I really am thankful for the people on YouTube.
I actually work for a company that has one of the plants out in Georgia, and I went there last year, and I planned on stopping by and saying hello. It's a little bit out there for me to try and make that drive, that trip, but I'm hoping on my next trip that I make up to Georgia, I will be stopping by and saying hello to you, because I think it'd be a blast to sit down and talk with you for a little while. So hopefully
I will be happy to make you some ice cream myself. Maybe we'll sneak a hookah in the back, you know?
There you go.
You never know. Have some fun.
Hopefully in the future I will come by and say hello. That is a bucket list for me. But not bucket list as in like I'm gonna die or anything, just a hookah bucket list. How long you've been smoking for, Zach? You said you've been reviewing since 2013, but how long have you actually been smoking, partaking in this hobby?
I probably should have done the math already, but I've been smoking since I was 15 and I'm 27.
Okay. Oh wow, you're a little bit younger than me actually. Okay. Very, very nice. What was your first flavor? Do you remember what it was? Did you start on with Quick Lights and a Chinese hookah from
the
gas station?
Started from
the
bottom.
There you go.
So yeah, I first started smoking at a hookah lounge, local hookah lounge, with a buddy of mine and with his older brothers, obviously. It was actually probably an Egyptian hookah at this particular lounge, but was definitely Quick Lights, and it was probably Alfokker. Exact flavor, probably something really dumb that I probably wouldn't smoke.
Do you have a nostalgia for a certain flavor because you used to smoke it all the time? Like, what's your nostalgia flavor?
Fuzzy Navel from Starbucks.
Oh my gosh, yes, good of Starbucks. I used to love Pink from Starbucks. Do you remember that?
Yes, yeah. Starbucks always brings back good memories, even to this day. I mean, I know everyone's against Starbucks and stuff, but I'll go to a lounge, and if all they have is Starbucks and Alfokker, I'll still make a mix, you know, if I have to, and it brings back good memories. I had one probably recently. It was Starbucks Blue Melon AF Lemon Mint or something. I don't know. I mixed it together, and I didn't mind it.
Were you a fan of Starbucks Blue Mist back in the day? Were you on the Blue Mist train?
No, I actually never liked Blue Mist.
Oh,
I hated Blue Mist. All my friends loved Blue Mist, and it never stuck well with me. It was always too sweet. I kind of had a similar palate in all my years. I don't like overly sweet things. I like citrus. I love melon still, and Blue Mist, it just never did it for me. So Coco Jumbo, Fuzzy Navel, White Peach, those were kind of my jam.
Oh, man, we are the premier, and I believe the number one Blue Mist podcast, so I'm sorry, but you're now associated with it.
We're sponsored by Blue Mist, man.
Yeah, not Starbucks.
No, Blue Mist flavor.
Only Blue Mist. Let's see. Been watching Zach for a few years now. Great channel. That's what Hookafine said. Captain Wetbeard says, "Woo! My first flavor was Starbucks Sweet Melon, and I liked Pirate's Cave over Blue Mist." Captain Wetbeard, you do us dirty, my friend. I've only ever had Blue Mist from 360, so my first into was probably not the best. I'm assuming 360 was a brand?
It's a Dearborn local brand. We have a lot of it here, and it's not very good at all.
Is it just repackaging of other things, basically, or what?
No, if they repackage something else, at least it'd be smokable.
Oh, jeez. Shots fired, I tell you what. Okay, so we already kind of touched on it, but why did you start doing videos in general? Did you just do it because you wanted to get your opinion out there to help solve or help other people know in a right direction that they should start pointing towards? What was the focus of why you started your channel?
I kind of have a weird thing. I'm on YouTube all day long. I'm brushing my teeth. I'm watching something on YouTube. I love watching reviews. It's kind of how I learn about a hobby. I mean, I have a lot of other hobbies as well, so I'm always watching reviews. And I mean, before I buy a vacuum cleaner, I read 100,000 reviews. You know, before I buy a car, I'm reading every review possible. I love reading reviews, watching reviews, and I thought it was about time I kind of gave back to all the people who took the time to write those reviews back in the day. And to give back to the people who were educating me, like all the great reviewers, you know, like we all used to watch. So that was time I kind of, you know, gave my two cents on things and put my time in.
Very cool. over the years, what are some of the cool products that you have seen in your travels of doing reviews for hookahs? It could be a hookah, an HMD, or just anything in general. What are some of the cool stuff that you've had the chance to preview or be a part of even?
Oh, that's a tough question. I should have read that one earlier. Let's see. I really think it's interesting. One thing, when I first started smoking hookah at 15, obviously I wasn't allowed to smoke hookah. It wasn't legal. And my parents are finally, they came around recently, like as I'm 27 years old. My grandmother actually last week was like, hey, why don't you open a hookah bar? And I'm like, grandma, you're a genius. But I already thought about that. But no. So finally they're coming around. But when I first started smoking hookah, I was on hookahpro.com and I was always reading about stuff. And I always liked the ingenuity between pipes, why you chose brass over copper over stainless steel, and seeing what people in other countries were smoking. So to get introduction to pipes like the Dasheeni behind me, the Egyptian one, I love seeing what other countries are doing, their packing styles, their bowls. For example, in Germany, that they use those chimney covers, stuff like that that I've been introduced to over the past years. It's very interesting to me to see how it's so different in other countries.
Yes, I think that is one of the interesting, because a hookah, when you break it down to like its bare minimal essentials, like it's just something going into water and then you're pulling negative pressure out of it so that you can pull the smoke through the downstem and you can get that smoke to come through the tobacco. Like one thing that I tell a lot of people when they first want to get into smoking hookah and why it's so different than smoking a cigarette is when you smoke a cigarette, the goal of smoking a cigarette is to combust the tobacco. You are trying to combust it. When you're smoking a hookah, you do not want to combust the tobacco. You want to cook the tobacco so that you're able to generate the heat necessary to create the smoke, but you do not want to actually combust it. If you combust it, then you burn it, and that's not what we're looking for when doing it. So when you break a hookah down, I really like, have you ever seen the Plex hookahs made out of plexiglass and stuff? I really think they look so cool, and I love how you are able to break down the idea of what a hookah is and bring it to its bare minimum inside of a plexiglass, and you can see that transition. That's what Hookah John used to say back in the day in his videos, the transition of the water into the smoke, and I always thought that looked really cool. That's why clear vases, I think, are always so much fun to use,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So going into some other fun stuff about this, I also want to touch on, I forgot to write this one down, so you may not have seen this, but what are some of the kind of bad products that you've seen? Not to like throw shade at anybody, but some Ooh. Stuff that you did not, either you expected to be good and they weren't good, or something that you knew right off the bat was, I remember your video that you did for, was it the Flip Tech? Is that what that bowl was called?
Yes.
Or the Glide
yes.
Bowl? Both of those things were interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, my girlfriend still teases me about that glider bowl to this day. It's the only bowl she's willing to pack because she knows I don't want to smoke out of it. I thought the idea behind the glider bowl was pretty cool. It was different. It wasn't executed to the best of its ability. And I did give the owner, who was actually local to Georgia, I gave him a lot of feedback. And they didn't improve it as much as I think they could have. Hmm. But yeah, that Flip Tech, I didn't have high hopes for it. A buddy of mine actually bought it, sent it to me. It's trash. It okay. did not work. Too gimmicky. I'm noticing the simpler products are the ones that work the best. When they come with speakers and all these lights and things like that, they seem to be compensating for something.
What
you
is
know?
Your opinion on the Starbuzz Carbine hookah? Do you have an opinion on that thing yet?
Yeah, so I'm actually getting one in.
Okay.
I will review it. I think at this point, I don't know if I can safely say that, but I don't think Starbuzz would put it out if it really sucked.
Okay. What do you think about the look of it? Because that's the one thing that draws me away from it personally is I don't like the look of it. I don't like that they're going for it's definitely not like the AK-47s that Mob used to do, those crummy looking hookahs. But it definitely has that kind of very like military look to it. I don't like the whole aesthetic thing. I don't like that it has like silicone around it. I'm not a fan of the actual design of the hookah itself.
I don't mind it as much. I think it's actually different, kind of stands on its own 4 feet, per se. there's all these hookahs are starting to look alike. There's not as much you can do. And I think they actually waited a long time to come out with a new product, and it actually looks a little bit different, you know? So
okay.
I'm excited to try it out, especially if it does come with a diffuser like it's advertised to. I know in a lot of the sneak preview videos, maybe the distributor didn't send out the diffuser. I love diffusers, so it has to have a diffuser for me to smoke out of it. But I have high hopes for it. Hookahs are simple products, you know? It can't be that bad as long as the quality is good.
Do you take into consideration when you review a product the price very much? Is that a big part of your reviewing process, or is it less of a part of it?
It used to not be. Oh, it actually used to be more of a thing for me because I know spending that kind of money on products, you know, I really wanted to see a return on that. I really expected certain qualities for certain price points. But as we talked about with, you know, these bowls being as high priced as they are, I think everyone's willing to spend a little bit more money than I am. So I try to not talk about price as much because that's my personal opinion and my feeling on spending money. But I do try to give value for what you're spending. What's a good hookah? I can't even think of something. Let's say the Czar, for example, is behind me. It's the first thing I see. It's actually, you can't see it, but it's right there.
Okay.
For what you get for the price, it's pretty good. I mean, am I going to choose to smoke that pipe over anything behind me? No. But I think if you had a limited budget of, you know, $150, and that's, you had to get a bowl, a hose, everything all included, I would tell you, when I reviewed that, I said, for what you pay, for what you get, it's a good value.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the best hookah ever? No. Is it the highest quality hookah ever? Are you going to pass it down to your grandkids? No. But if you have a budget, I'd rather pick that over the Sahara Smoke Assassin, which was one of the worst quality hookahs I've ever smoked out of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I don't know if you guys like play many video games. I play quite a few video games. I used to actually review for video games as well. And I very rarely ever touched on price of a video game. The reason why is because when you get involved in any sort of hobby, there's an initial price that has to be put up with regardless of what you are trying to enjoy. So while price does have an important part of things, I feel, it is less of an important part of it, in my opinion. And the reason why is because you know you have to pay money to enjoy these things anyways. I do think there is a certain price point. There's, you know, there's a fine line between if something is not of good quality, the price should not be overly, you can't justify that price if it's not of good quality, basically, is the way that I feel about that. Adrian, what do you think? Me and you, I think, are on the same page when it comes to the Starbuzz Carbine hookah, are we not?
Yeah, I think it looks really bad. That's purely my opinion, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if it performs well, great. You know, I think it's really cool. It'd be a really cool camping hookah because it looks like you can set that down on just the ground really well because of those four legs. So I think there's, when people like Zach get a hold of it and do the review, that'll be the deciding factor on whether or not I pick one up. Imagine that. We watch reviews and if they're good, we buy products.
That is a great segue into our next question for Zach. Zach, do you still watch review videos? Have you ever broke out of your routine of watching review videos?
I still watch reviews. I try to not watch products I'm on the fence about as much. If I'm having trouble with something, I definitely go to reviews. You know, I watch you guys, I watch Adrian stuff, especially when I need to figure out something that I'm having trouble with, definitely go to reviews. But I try to stay away from reviews before I reviewed a product. I don't want it to affect my opinion at all. Same thing, I really try to stay away from talking to the owners as much. I think it can, I personally sometimes feel bad. You know, you build up that relationship with a company and you meet the person and they're the nicest person in the world. And then you have an issue with the product. It's hard. Honestly, it's hard for me to say, This is shit. This doesn't work or what may have you. And I don't want to have to sugarcoat things. I want to be honest and, you know, unbiased, as we all throw around that word. I want to be that way, you know. So I try to kind of stay away from watching a review before I actually review something. But I do watch them at the end. After I review something, I do go back and watch and see, did their opinions align with mine so that I know I'm on the same page? And if it doesn't, then I can reach out to them and say, hey, why did you like this more? Why did you like this less? And maybe I can, you know, put out something later in another video and say, hey, maybe I made a mistake or what may have you, you know? But that's what I found throughout my years of experience. If I start watching other people's reviews, especially on flavors, for example, I'm weird. If you tell me something is in it, I feel like I can taste it, you know? But if you don't tell me it's in there and then I can't pick it out, then it's maybe not there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I try not to play those mind games with myself. So I do avoid watching reviews prior.
I think that's a good way to look at it. This is kind of a general question. You don't have to get into any like specifics or any individual specifically or anything like that. I was just kind of curious, what do you think of the current, you know, landscape of what we have for reviewers working today and putting out content? I mean, do you enjoy what you're seeing going into the world of hookah reviews at the moment?
Not really.
That's fine. Honest conversation. There's no problem with that at all. Do you think that, you know, it's been brought up before. I don't know if you've seen some of the other stupid drama that's going on. Do you think there's a certain level of reviews that are not being as honest as they could be? Does that make sense? Like certain stuff that maybe should be getting a little bit more scrutiny. I think something that could be said, maybe not only about like YouTube reviewers, but like when it came to the Azure Dark Line, There was not, I think, enough scrutiny hitting that stuff as hard as I personally thought from my own experience being talked about. It was heat sensitive, and it wasn't as full-flavored as the Blonde Leaf, but it didn't seem to get the amount of, I don't want to say negativity, because there doesn't need to be negativity necessarily, but the amount of feedback that should be given on a product like that.
Well, I think part of it's not an issue per se. It's really amazing, the industry that we're, you know, I guess technically a part of. But I was talking to this about someone the other day, but you can't go to a manufacturer of a product and tell them how you feel. You can't build that relationship with them. You're not on groups where you can talk to them as easily as we can. So it may, I guess, prevent people from speaking as openly as they should. But, you know, for example, I just bought this vacuum cleaner. I know I did a lot of research on it. That's why I keep talking about it. But I bought a Roomba. You know, if I don't like the thing, I don't feel bad saying this thing sucked. I spent way too much money on it. If it doesn't do what I paid for it to do, I don't feel bad because I have no relationship with them, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's some people's issues. They know the maker of, I don't know, let's say the Sheikah, for example, and they think Ahmed is the nicest guy in the world, which he is. They would say, hey, I can't say bad things about that. I try to find the balance in you're doing them a favor by giving them feedback so they can improve their product and keep the business alive and keep it thriving, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So find that respectful balance of saying this is the truth, this is what needs to be improved, but also not bashing it and saying this is shit, don't ever buy it, don't support them, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to find that balance, and a lot of reviewers don't have that balance. And not to say I do, but some of the ones I watch, I'm just like, did you take the time to test this out enough? Do you just know the guy? Like, why are you reviewing this, you mm-hmm. know?
That's the one thing for me personally. My favorite review that I've ever done, I'm not trying to like pat myself on the back, was of the Phoenix HMD review that I did, because I was one of the most honest things that I feel like I ever was able to put out there in a very positive way, because there wasn't anything negative inherently wrong with the device, but the issues with it were very problematic and needed to be stated. Once again, like, I still stand by everything that I said about it. It's not a terrible thing, and it's not broken. It's just there's issues with it that needed to be explained. And I think that you, like you said, you have to find that good balance of admitting truth over friendship, which can definitely happen. So would you say, like, in the current landscape, sometimes there may be a little bit too much sugarcoating going on, and that could be a cause of problem?
Yeah, and I could be someone who's been accused of sugarcoating too much as well. So I definitely see that thing that's a problem. But I do think there needs to be a certain amount of respect. And both of you guys do a great job of giving, you know, your opinions and making sure you know it's an opinion and giving positive feedback on how they can improve a product versus just shitting on it or saying it's, oh my God, the best, buy it. And you don't need to do that. You know,
yeah.
So I do agree. You guys are, that's why I like you guys. You guys are actually really good at doing that properly. So.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
And my next question for you, as we kind of start winding down and wrapping things up, is what are some tips that you may have for people who are looking into getting into the review spectrum of things, like either be written review or video reviews or whatever the case may be? What are some tips, maybe some things that you wish you would have done differently or whatever the case may be? What are some things that you would recommend people looking into this hobby maybe try to do?
I would definitely recommend testing out products thoroughly. You know, I watch some reviews sometimes and I'm like, did you even smoke this more than one time, you know? And I think there's nothing wrong with saying this is a first look at it, this is my first couple of hits, this is my initial impression. But to say things so definitively and tell other people, because people listen to us, you know, people go spend their money on things that we recommend, you got to test stuff out more. So don't be hasty to make reviews. As you guys see, I take my sweet time, you know, really test a product out, and so you can give the ins and outs and say something different about it, give tips. Someone said this to me the other day. Don't just tell me what it tastes like. Give me some tips on how to improve it or pack it differently or use it differently than maybe everyone else who makes it tells you about. Like, for example, the Phoenix, I don't think they gave a lot of information about the Phoenix. I think they kind of just put it out there and was like, you tell us about it, which is a very interesting approach to it,
mm-hmm.
a very humble approach. But that's where we can step in and say, hey, this is how I found it works the best, or, you know, what may have you. And I think that's really good for a new reviewer to really know what they're talking about before they say it so definitively on the internet, you know?
Yeah, so Paul just said, hey, guys, the four grand
sold out.
Sold out. The Grand Onyx is sold out. There's no chance I'm giving away one, so hit that like button as many times as you want to. The Grand Onyx is sold out as of right now. Paul said the 4 Grand Onyxes on the website are sold out, just so we know. Gus says, Zach, it's a good example of being an active member of the community by being involved in several tests of brands or products while incorporating those aspects into his actual review. So he appreciates the fact that you're a part of the conversation going on along with.
Appreciate that.
Paul says speculation on the 4. I'm tending to agree with him.
3.
Maybe only 3. Anyways, okay. As we once again start to wind down, my question for you, Zach, to end on a nice note, what are some brands that you do enjoy? I'd love to hear some of the stuff that you enjoy smoking. I know, like you said, sometimes you don't get to smoke everything that you want to smoke, but what are some of the stuff that you do enjoy to smoke?
I absolutely love smoking Trifecta. I like the guy. He's a wonderful guy. He's really strict about his, you know, putting out really solid flavors. He's a lot of test flavors that he's not willing to introduce yet because they're not ready yet. I love smoking Trifecta. Like I said, the Twist, one of my favorites, smoking a little bit Dirty Mint in here. The Sheikah guy, as you can see, how many iterations of the Sheikahs has he had? Mm-hmm. We're on V4.5s. He never shies away from the mistakes, I guess you could say, in past models. Always willing to improve them. He keeps the cost down. Sheikah, doing new things. Some of the things he does, I don't necessarily want, but at least he's always pushing the boundaries. I love that. My daily smoker bowl, the Goodfella, you know, Alpaca Bowls, good people. I like them. The Phoenix people, they're pretty nice. So, I mean, it's a lot of good people in this industry and yes. A lot of great people I've met throughout this process. So I'm really thankful for that.
Are you planning on going to the Hook Expo? Are you going to be able to make your trip down there?
I think I will.
Awesome.
Yes, I missed the last one and I really regretted it. So I think I'll be there. It's going to be really different for me. Then one reason why I love TPE, even though it's dying, I love being able to sit with brands and really sit. I mean, we sit in the booths together and we smoke, you know, and I really love that aspect of it. And it's going to be a little bit different at the expos, a lot more people. But I would like to meet everybody and kind of see everybody again. I love hanging out with everybody. It's some of the highlights of my life, honestly, going to TPE and smoking with everybody. So I'm really making an effort to come out this year.
Awesome. Me and Adrian are both going to be down there. So we hope to smoke a bowl with you and share a beer with you as well.
I only drink liquor, but we'll definitely share something.
Oh, yeah. I got no problem with that. I'll introduce you to my favorite shot that I buy everybody that I enjoy to drink with. And I have a feeling I'll enjoy drinking with you guys. So I'll be buying you guys.
You ever tried rubbing alcohol?
No. What?
That's pretty good.
Oh, my gosh. Captain Whitbeard says, when is Trifecta finally going to release that cookie dough flavor? When are they going to do that?
He said it wasn't perfect, and he doesn't want to release it. Even if the line's out the door, people are willing to spend their money. He's like, I'm not releasing unless it's perfect. I actually didn't really like it. So
yeah,
everyone else loved it.
I've got some, and I can't get through it, man.
I didn't like it.
It doesn't hold its flavor for very long, and it's overbearing. It leaves this film in the back of my throat that I do not like. Huh. So I respect him a lot for not releasing flavors before they're exactly the way he wants them to be.
Brandon has a question real quick, and I'm going to throw this to Adrian first because I feel like you've been too quiet for too long. I apologize for casting you out of that a little bit. My apologies. What is your favorite?
Happy to be here.
What is your favorite dark leaf tobacco, Adrian?
My favorite dark leaf. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say Tangiers. I smoke a lot of Tangiers. I really like Tangiers. I think there's other dark leaves that bring different things to the table. Like Trifecta's dark leaf is probably a very close number 2. But when it comes to dark leaf, I'm really pissed off whenever I don't have Tangiers around.
Okay. Pissed off. Okay. He gets angry. Don't talk to him when he runs out of that cane mint.
Don't do it.
What about you, Zach? What is your favorite dark leaf?
Favorite dark leaf is probably going to be Trifecta, but I do have a lot of respect for Tangiers. I'm on a K-Peach and Cane kick. I go through this stuff like crazy, but mm-hmm. I must be weak. I can't do heavy buzzes, so... For me, Tangiers, I'll smoke for like 45 minutes, and it's so heavy for me that I can't handle it, but I love it.
So you're saying that...
I love the performance, I love the accuracy of the flavors, but like 45 minutes in, I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go to bed. And my girlfriend's like, I'm going to take these coals off for you, because I'm going to hang out with you tonight. And she's like, that's so nice. And I'm like, I'm done smoking. This stuff is too strong for me.
Like, man, I just love you so much.
I'm going to sacrifice this bowl I just packed for you, you know, but... It's tough for me to smoke. I don't know what it is. I've always been a sucker for the buzz. When I used to smoke Black Lava, dude, that stuff used to kick me in the face.
Oh, man.
So sometimes when you're watching my reviews and I look
glossy.
Like I'm high, it's because I'm so buzzed and I just don't know what to do. I just like can't form sentences.
Okay, so we just had somebody hit us up. Should I read this? Should I read this?
HIV positive transgender. This seems like a... Yeah, Matt, read that.
Okay, so in the chat right now, we have HIV positive transgender. I'm always looking for a better smoking experience. I'm constantly trying new alternatives to the traditional smoking apparatus. Have you guys tried Ice Wallow Alquat Dove Coma 143? I can honestly say I've never tried it. I'm sorry. Not sure if that's a troll.
What that is.
I don't think that's a real thing. I think we just got trolled. That's how we know we've made it big, Adrian. We've made it so big now that we have Strictly Shisha on the show that we're being trolled. That's how we know that we've made it big now. Okay. So.
Yeah, something tells me that wasn't a real Fiji water either.
No, that was real Fiji. Don't dash my dreams. Don't dash my dreams. Okay. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, thank you so much, Zach, for joining us. We ran a little bit later than usual. I hope nobody minds. I could sit here and talk with you all day, and hopefully we can have you back on the show very shortly because this was an absolute pleasure and a blast. We've been wanting to do this since literally we first started doing the podcast. We've been in talks with you to come on the show and stuff like that, especially between me and Adrian. We have a certain amount of people that we want to get in through the industry and certain reviewers that we have so much respect for. And we've obviously wanted to have you, Zach, for a very long time. So we're so happy that we could finally make it work. But yeah.
I'm happy to be here. I really look up to you guys. You guys do a great show every week and your own individual channels are awesome. So I'm happy to be here and I'm thankful you guys brought me on, and I'd be happy to come back anytime. So awesome. As long as it's on a Monday, I can make it work. So
awesome.
That's awesome because we do this on Mondays.
Yeah, that's our day.
It worked out.
Okay, so very quickly, I just want to touch on the fact that we're partnering up with Alpha Comma to do a huge giveaway, including a ticket for the expo. We are done with round number one. We are going to be announcing the results very shortly. The top 10 blends are going to be on the different hookah pages. Everybody's going to be able to vote for them. And then once that happens, we're going to get down to the top three. And then we'll be announcing all the prizes. Obviously, the big grand prize is going to be an actual ticket to go to the hookah expo coming up in... Oh, he's got some. He's got some.
Awesome flavor.
So I just to end out the show, Zach, where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on YouTube, obviously, Strictly Shisha. I would love if you guys subscribe. I am also active decently, kind of not every now and then, on the hookah group. So specifically the hookah lounge, even though they're all kind of everyone's in every group. That's kind of the ones I participate the most in. So if you guys want to hang out on there, feel free to let me know.
Captain Wetbeard would like to know how many submissions that we actually had. And I'm proud to say that my goal was to get 20 submissions into the contest. And that is exactly what we had. So I was very happy to get the 20 submissions because that's what I wanted to see happen. And that's exactly what we got.
I love how Badia always pops up when we're talking about Alpha Comma.
Every single time.
Without a fail. He just knows and pops in.
Yeah.
What's up, Badia? How you doing, buddy?
How you doing? Bad idea. That's how I have to say his name. Otherwise, I'm going to butcher it. So I have to say it like that. Yes. So I'm very happy to say that we had 20 submissions. We're going to be breaking that down to 10, and then we'll break that off to the top three. All that information is going to be put out there very soon, just to let you know. Adrian, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Let's see. You want to find me on YouTube? You can go over to Pipe Dream Hookah. I do content there. If you want to find me on the Instagram and the Twitter, it's @_pipedream. And then if you want to find me talking mad shit, go to YouTube. My name's Adrian Hunter. I'm the one with my face on it.
And then if you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter @onlymattdezen. You can find me on the Facebook groups as well. You can find me on YouTube, which I always forget to plug for myself, @MattDezen. Just go to my name, Matt Dezen, and you'll be able to see the different content that I put up. Hopefully more stuff is going to be coming soon. You can also find
awesome guys.
Thank you. You can find the show on Twitter @AM_hookah, Instagram @AM Hookah Podcast, Facebook @AM Hookah. Just do a search for us and you can find the page and the group as well. Oh my gosh, this has been a fun-filled show with so much content. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We appreciate it. Go down there and smash that like button. Slap that like button because I'm not giving away a Grand Onyx, so hit that button as many times as you want to. Until next time, guys, keep on smoking. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.